Pillars in the church. Again, yesterday I gave this message to the men in our church meeting, men's meeting. And at the end, the Lord told me, no, this is now going to the rest. And you're going to understand why, because of what will be said in the entirety of this message. I believe every person, first from Grace Christian Center, needs to hear this message, as well as everyone else who is a part of the body of Christ and has a home church. This is messages for you. But this first speaks to Grace Christian Center. It's called Pillars in the Church. In Galatians 2:9, it says, where Paul speaks about his ministry being approved by the disciples. Paul says this. He says, in fact, he says, James, Peter, and John, who were known as pillars of the church, recognized the gift God had given me, and they accepted Barnabas and me as their co-workers. They encouraged us to keep preaching to the Gentiles while they continued their work with the Jews. And in Revelation 3:12, Jesus speaks to the church prophetically. He says, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. This is Jesus saying that not only will you be a pillar in the church, but you'll be a pillar throughout eternity in the temple of God. And Jesus, let me make this clear. Jesus is the foundation. And whoever builds on the foundation of Christ, on his teachings, on his life, following him, they become pillars in their community. They become pillars in their family. And they become pillars in their church. And that is so important to hear today, now more than ever before, because the house is falling. And I'm talking about society. There are no pillars, godly pillars, out there in society. That's why you see homes broken. That's why you see lives broken. Because the pillars are not being built on the foundation that lasts forever. This message first is applied to men in the church. To men. Look, what Pastor Jason read earlier in Matthew 6:33, I want to read this to you. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6, in context of this scripture, Jesus is speaking about not worrying about your food, about your life, about the clothes you're going to wear. It doesn't mean be lazy and don't work. Absolutely not. That is not what Jesus is teaching. As a matter of fact, if we are the children of God, we should be about the work of our Father, and we should be a blessing to everybody. And we should work hard, knowing that all that we do is unto the Lord. Whoever is lazy in the body of Christ, they'll never get ahead. They'll never be where God wants them to be. Because as the physical grows, so does the spiritual. And as the spiritual, so does the physical, most likely. Now, our bodies are breaking down. But if we give in to the flesh, if we give in to the temptations of the flesh and become weak and give into that weakness and give into that laziness and that casualness, if we give into those things, then guess what? We don't become the pillars that these disciples were. We don't become the pillars that the early church fathers were. We don't become the pillars that are needed today. We're building on the church. And as you build in your personal life, you build in your family, you'll build in the church. And so Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You want addition in your life, don't you? Or do you want subtraction? So many people in this world experience subtraction in their life because they do not do what Jesus says to do, and that is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Look, what stops you from seeking the kingdom of God? What stops you from seeking his righteousness? Get a mirror out and look at yourself. You do. You give in to your sin, your temptation. That is what we are good at doing. We know our weaknesses, and yet we give in to our weaknesses. We know that we're easy to get angry, we're easy to get upset, we're easy to get depressed, and we give in to those things. That is your worst enemy, yourself. And so therefore, the Bible teaches us that we must learn through prayer, through fasting, through fellowship, through knowing what the Word of God, being a good student of the Bible, of the Word of God, that those things begin to crucify and kill the flesh within you. And therefore, you become to understand the will of God. You begin to understand the purposes of the kingdom of God in this world today. And you become strong in the Lord for His glory. And you become a pillar. You become someone that can be counted on, someone that can be reckoned with. You have the authority of Christ in your life. And not only do the people recognize that, but the demons recognize that. And they'll come against you, they'll attack you, because they don't want you to rest in the authority of Jesus Christ. If you don't have authority in your home, what makes you think you have authority out there in the world with the devil? Think about this. This all begins in your home. Some of us have people living in our homes that do not belong. Now, I'm not talking to women, your husband gets on your nerve, or you have some bad child. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? But what I'm saying is, you have some people in your home, you have some things in your home that do not belong in your house. You have some material things that do not belong in your house. You're holding on to struggling of whether it be, you know, cursing, vile thoughts, whatever it be, smoking, vaping, drinking, whatever it may be, you're holding on to those things. And as long as you hold on to those things, you'll never, ever, ever be what God has called you to be as a Christian. Never. Never. You'll never get there. Because the righteous inherit the kingdom of God. And if you're seeking Him, you're seeking His righteousness, and you'll experience addition in your life. Now, what is the addition? It's not a nice car, a nice home, but no, it's the power of God. It's the power of God. It's the peace of God. You know how I know so many in the church don't have it today? Because they come into the church like this, sad. You see it on their face. And that's the way we are. God noticed it with Cain. God looked at Cain and said, "Why is your face downtrodden?" That's the first thing God pointed out. God didn't say, "What's wrong with your heart?" God said, "Why is your face downcast, downtrodden?" And so many people in the church, they walk around, and I see it. They're like, "Hey," they're not excited about the things of Jesus. There's no fire of the Holy Spirit in their life. They're given into their temptations. They're given into the flesh. And therefore, they're of no good use for God. Amen. And we come and we sing to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. We sing in the house, and they're just standing there with their hands in their pocket, and they're afraid to sing. They're afraid to lift up their hand. I can lift my hands up because no chains of Satan are holding them down. But it's easy, because I see people do that, and yet they go out there and still live like the devil. And so God wants you to be balanced in both, in here and out there. Because all you're fooling is yourself. And so you know how we recognize who the people of God are, who the pillars of God are? It's the people that are in action in their faith. They're not struggling with sin, and they're not struggling with their ministries. Amen. They're persevering. They're going forward. They're not waiting for the pastor to give them a command to go, to do this, to do that. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 6, 9 through 13, they saw something in Jesus that they did not have or ever had or never saw any other man have. When they saw Jesus praying, they saw something totally different. Of course they say, "How do you pray? Jesus, teach us how to pray." In verse 9, Matthew 6, he says, "In this manner, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Amen? We can quote that. We know that scripture. We know it by heart. But do we live by it? Do we acknowledge that our Father in heaven, our Lord, is holy? His name is holy. We represent his kingdom. His kingdom shall be done on this earth as it is in heaven. He is going to give us daily everything that we need, our daily bread, because we seek him, because we're about his kingdom. And as we forgive others, others will forgive us. We'll understand what the power of forgiveness is because we've been forgiven by Jesus. So much. Unforgiveness is worse than cancer. Unforgiveness is worse than cancer. Unforgiveness is killing everybody in this world today. Forgive, because the love of God covers a multitude of sin. Forgive. Forgive. Let it go. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, because yours is the kingdom. Lord, you deliver me from evil, from temptation, because I am a citizen of your kingdom. You got to recognize the authority of Jesus Christ. You know, when on the Andy Griffith show, no, y'all don't know, y'all don't watch that. I do. That's an old 1960s show. And I remember there was an episode where Barney was told that he needed to go and tell these two guys that were selling fruit on the side of the road that they could not do that anymore. Who saw that episode? Oh, my people. You cannot sell fruit on the side of the road because Mayberry requires a permit. Remember that? Yes. And what, remember Barney, he went and approached him and he got scared, right? And they scared him off. And so, you know, Sheriff Andy, he finds out about it. And, you know, and long story short, he reminds Barney, this is the authority. You don't need a gun to go out there and tell them what to do. This is the authority, that badge, because there's bigger men that stand behind that badge that are bigger than you guys. And so Barney understood that his authority. And he goes back and he tells them, and look, goes, you guys are big. But there's a lot of guys that are a lot bigger than you that represent this badge. And so Barney used his authority. And that's, Christians are failing, because they don't understand the authority of Christ. If you understand the authority of Christ, look, listen, then you'll let the authority of Christ rule your life. You will not be bound by sin and greed and all of these things. And if you are bound by sin, by struggles, things that you know is wrong and don't belong in your life, I don't care what it is. If you're practicing it and you know it's sin, you are failing to recognize the authority of Jesus. And you are in sin. You are in disobedience. And that is not God's will. And it's time to be broken from that so you can become a pillar in the church. Because the next generation is watching you. You see, Christ is the foundation. And let me say this first. And Christian men are the building blocks. Christian men are the pillars. A strong church must have strong men in the faith to advance his kingdom and push back the gates of hell. In my years of following Jesus, I and Anna have witnessed women stronger in the faith and more active than men in the church. Why is that? Because it goes all the way back to Adam. When Satan showed up, where was Adam? Adam was not even in the conversation. It was Eve and the serpent. And today, a lot of men are not in the conversation. They're hiding. Amen. And it's the women that have to deal with the things of Satan today, mostly. This is unbiblical order. And if you don't have order in the church, men, in your life, there's no order in your house. I'm not a male chauvinist. I used to be. But I will tell you right now, I'm the most blessed man on the face of the earth because I have the greatest wife that could live. She has helped me for 30, she corrected me too. I'm like, man, I can't believe we've been married 30 years. She was 31. I'm like, I'm sorry. I mean, it's just having so much fun, right? It just, for time flies by. But the Bible says, he who finds a good wife finds a good thing. And the Bible says that a wife is a helper. And so when the helpers are doing all the work in life and in church and in the home, and the men are doing nothing, families suffer and churches suffer. Because the men look at it as, that's not important. I think this is better. I'm going to go do this. That's the way men are. I know it because I see it in our school. In four-year-olds, little girls, they know how to follow order. They have a teachable spirit. Their IQs are a lot higher than the boys their age. Anybody that works with kids, you know what I'm talking about. The girls' IQ, I mean, they're way above the boys at that age. The boys, I love the boys, but they're like blockheads, you know. Oh, look, a squirrel, you know, I mean, you know, they get distracted so easily. The girls, they know how to get focused. You tell them something, they remember it and they do it. Why is that? Because God said, you will be a helper. Who goes to work and has a helper and they just love that their helper knows how to do things? But the responsibility placed on the man, we should know. We should lead by example, and we should lead with love because we understand the authority of Christ. Now, in Luke chapter 7, verse 2 through 10, I spoke very little on this last week, but I'm going to speak greatly on this right now. In Luke 7, verse 2 through 10, it says, "And a certain centurion servant who was dear to him was sick and was ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, the centurion heard about Jesus." Now the centurion is a Roman Gentile officer. He is not Jewish. He is a Gentile. He's a Roman officer. He's high up in the military. He has a lot of money, a lot of power and influence, okay? He probably has a couple hundred men at his disposal. He is a powerful man to be reckoned with. It says, so when this centurion in verse 30, when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to Jesus, pleading with Jesus to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged Jesus earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving. For this Roman centurion loves our nation, and he has built us a synagogue. Understand this today. In biblical times, Roman Gentiles, were not allowed to enter the temple or synagogues. They were only allowed to go only so far, and they could not go so far in. Not only that, but the Jews disrespected the Romans. They hated the Romans. They hated the Gentiles. They looked at them as dirty pigs, physically, spiritually. They could not have Roman Gentiles in their homes or go into another Gentile's home. They could not do that. It was against their law. But yet, this Roman centurion would give. He loved the nation of Israel because he loved their God, Jehovah. And he gave of his money, his time, his talents, his treasure. He built them a church. He built them a building, a synagogue. Even though he was not allowed to go in, he built it. Today, many will not have anything to do with the church because of the people in the church, symbolic of those Jewish people. They look down on me like I'm a dirty pig. I don't want to have anything to do with the church. But this centurion had the opposite effect. He said, no, I don't care what they say about me. I know he is God. And that is the attitude that you and I should have in the church today. We don't care what people say in the church or outside the church. Everything we do is unto the Lord. And we're going to give because we're giving to God, because we love Jesus. We're going to build the church. We're going to become the pillars in the church. We're going to give of our time and talent and treasure. And I don't care what they say about me. I don't care the rumors of what's going on about me. All I do is unto the Lord. Shouldn't we have the same attitude as the Roman centurion today? But that's not the case. And that's why so many churches are empty. And that's why so many churches are divided. And that's why so many churches have no power and no authority. Love covers a multitude of sin. If we would just let the love of God flow in our personal life, it will flow in our church. Jesus went with them, verse 6, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority. I have soldiers under me, and I say, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. The Roman centurion said, I understand authority because I am a man of authority. And I understand that you have a greater authority and that all you have to say is do it and it'll be done. Do you have faith like that today in the house of God? Amen. Or are we worried about all of this? Do you want to be set free? You can't do it, but he can. So if you come under his authority, you'll have peace. And you know why so many people are sad, Christians walking around sad, not giving like they should give, not sowing like they should be sowing into the lives of people and the community? Why? I mean, you get a paycheck and all you're doing with it is paying bills and it's for yourself. Is that the Christian thing? This centurion built a church, put his own money into it. That's why so many churches are struggling today, because the people of God are not operating under the authority of Christ. This man knew what authority meant. He says, I don't care what anybody says because I come under the authority of God. I don't care what the doctors say about what I'm going to go through here in the next year, this physical sickness. I am under the authority of Christ. And if the Lord says go, I go to heaven. If the Lord says stay and be healed, I'll stay and be healed. But I'm not going to be worried about any of this stuff. I'm not going to be downtrodden because, oh, where am I going to go work now? The Lord will open the doors that no man can open, and he'll shut the doors that no man can shut. Do you believe that? Amen. Just ask the Lord and he shall do it. When Jesus heard these things in verse 9, he marveled at him, and he turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, he said, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in all of Israel. And those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well who had been sick. The centurion said, I know God is a God of miracles. Regardless of what you think about me, I know he is the God of miracles. And I know that he will do what I'm asking him to do. Not because he owes me anything. No, no, no. Because my heart is under his authority. My house is under his authority. My servants, my family are under his authority. This man ruled with a right heart. You are of a royal priesthood, a royal nation, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. You are to operate with a right heart under the authority of Christ. Let love rule your heart. We're learning this, guys. You need to learn this. You can never outgive God. Amen. You can never outgive God. You can never think that you gave God enough. Oh, I used to do that 10 years ago. Let somebody else do it now. Really? Really? Wow. Whoa. But yet Moses, Caleb, Joshua, the judges, the prophets, the disciples, the apostles, They followed Jesus till their last breath.
Amen.
They served till their last breath. When is the last time any one of us Christians have led somebody to the cross of Jesus Christ? That's why there's no passion. That's why there's no joy, and that's why there's no peace. Because you're about the work of another kingdom. You're a pillar of another kingdom that's crumbling. It's time to change that. This is our world. Grace Christian Center. This is our church. This is his building. This is our church. We are the church, but this is where we gather. This is where we'll make memories. This is where kids can grow up. This is where kids come to learn Jesus every day. Every day, kids come into this building and learn about Jesus. Every day. Shouldn't the people of God invest into the things of God? Jesus said, I came to Israel, my own people, and this Gentile has greater faith than every other person in Israel. Could it be that there's people today in the world who don't even know Jesus have a greater faith than you who do know Jesus? Is that possible? Is that possible? Is that possible that there is a Muslim? That there is somebody of a different faith? They love God, but they just don't know the whole story yet. And they have a great displaying of faith. I look at the Muslims, and though they worship a God that denies the deity of Christ, but they're faithful. They pray 5 times a day. Most of us Christians don't even pray at all, because we're so busy. Be a pillar in the church. You know, when we went to New York, Ron and I have been to New York City several times. I remember the first time we ever went, we were walking by Wall Street, and there was this guy. He had a hot dog stand, right? And, you know, yeah, I mean, there could be questionable, the food, but man, those are the best hot dogs you'll ever taste, I'm telling you. Okay. This guy had a hot dog stand, and he closed it up, and there was thousands of people walking in the street. He closed it up. He threw his mat on the floor, and he started facing towards the east where the Brooklyn Bridge was. He started praying right there, and everybody was walking around him. They weren't even looking, to be honest with you. They were used to seeing stuff like that. But he was right there on the ground with his mat praying. Five, he would go down, he'd come down, he'd keep his head down, he'd be praying like that. And I watched him, Anna and I watched, and I'm like, wow. See, this is the first thing in being a pillar of the church, prayer. Our prayer must be right. That's the first thing. We're going to get into that in just a moment. You see, we know how to disobey. Let's learn to obey. Amen? We know how to show a lack of faith. Let us now become people of faith in Christ. Amen? Let's do it. The door's wide open. Let's go in. Let's go into the house of the Lord. What holds you back, though, is the cares of worldly treasure and disregard for your brethren. You know why I do what I do as a pastor? For my brethren. And God knows that. Why I stand right here in this very pulpit, right here today in Alvin, Texas, when my heart says, no, go somewhere else. Every part of me wants to leave. Go somewhere else. Start out somewhere else. Why do I say that? It's not because I don't like the people here. It's not because I don't like Alvin. It's because as men, we always have a different will from God. But God says, no. And so I look at the brethren here and I'm like, I'm going to stay here as long as you tell me. And from what all I know is that it's till I die. One day I will not be able to come up these stairs anymore because my knees can't take the pain. And then from then I'll just speak from the floor. You know my brother, Raul Cortez, he's 2 years younger than me. And he I don't remember, but he says I used to beat up the guys that would pick on him in junior high and high school. He lives here now, Pearland. His dad's the pastor of Rock of Power Church in Pearland. That's a Spanish church. And I've known Raul for so many years, and he was a strong kid, strong guy. But for the past 20 years, maybe a little less than that, he's been in a wheelchair. And, you know, he came here to speak a couple years ago at a men's meeting we had. And he says, Michael, I can't get on that podium. I can't get up there, Michael. I'm like, it's okay, man. Just do it from here. He said, okay, that's fine. And so he just had his chair, and we brought him the microphone. And some of you men might have been here for that. And he served the Lord. He was right there in his wheelchair, and he preached a wonderful message. He's going to do it no matter what. And in my opinion, he's a pillar in his church. He's a pillar in his family because he's showing his children, his grown children now, he's showing them that no matter what happens in your life, trust Jesus. Follow Jesus. In Genesis 4, 3-10, it says, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. You hear that? His face frowned. God saw the physical. So let me just stop right there for just a moment. You could be giving to God and God not respect it. I want you to let that sink in really hard today, because I let that sink into me very hard, and you need to do the same. You could be giving to God and God not respect it. So how much more if you're not even giving to God at all? This applies to your time, your talent, and your treasure. So many families are hurting because we're not giving our very best. Some of our churches are hurting because the men in the church are not giving their very best. If you will just do your part and give according to the written word of God, you'll see revival in your personal life, and you'll see the move of God in your churches. Well, I don't have that much time to do that. You know, I work so much. I can't serve, go into church. I can't go to this. I can't do that. I can't be a part of what they're going to be doing, that outreach or this. Oh, you know, I can't give because right now I'm in between jobs. Or I can't give because I only make so much money. How much more faith that is demonstrated when you give because you're in those situations? How much do you, and when you just give still, even though you have a lack of this and a lack of that, but you still give. How much of a greater demonstration of faith is that? Amen. Because the widow gave all she had, two bits. And we still speak of that in the Bible today. Jesus saw it. And that's what's plaguing the churches. We need the pillars. And God wanted to build Cain and Abel as pillars. Because by this time in the story, Adam and Eve already had other children. Believe me. They're just not mentioned. But God wanted to use Cain and Abel as pillars to show the direction that God wanted this family to go in. You get what I'm saying? And just like Satan, he attacks the brothers. Satan comes to the churches and he attacks the brethren. And they fight against each other. and they don't support each other, and they're not for each other. You get what I'm saying? You following me? So the Lord said to Cain in verse 6, "Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." Do you hear that? God is saying, even before, oh my goodness. Oh, y'all don't see it, do you? Right there. God is saying, even before the cross of Jesus, you have authority to rule over sin. Because Abel was doing it. How much more after the cross do you have the authority to rule over the kingdom of Satan? The Roman centurion understood the authority of Jesus. You know why many people don't come to prayer meetings? Because they don't believe in the authority of Jesus anymore. Christian fellowships, because they don't understand the authority of Jesus rests there. When Jesus says, "Where two or three are gathered, there I am." Well, then Jesus, let's go. Because of what God tells Cain. Watch. Cain talked with Abel, his brother, in verse 8. "And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and he killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is Abel, your brother?' And he said, 'I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?' The answer? Yes. You are your brother's keeper. You're supposed to look out for your brother. The first greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your mind, body, and soul. And the second, love your neighbor, love your brother as well." Verse 10, "What have you done?" said God. "The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." The injustices that we give in the church today, in our families today, that injustice, that blood cries out to the Lord today. God sees the imbalance, the disorder that is happening in the families and in the churches today. Let this not be your family. Let this not be your church. Be a pillar. Repent and seek His forgiveness and do what the Lord tells you to do. Look, Cain was a taker, but the Roman centurion was a giver. Cain was a taker, but the Roman centurion was a giver. And not only that, he was a cheerful giver. Amen. Amen? And he remembered that all he did was unto the Lord. And that's why he could do what he did. And that's why he called on Jesus. Because he knew the authority of God, the authority of Christ. And it shows. It showed in Cain, in his attitude, in his face. And it showed in the Roman centurion, in his attitude, in his joy. You just say it and it'll be done. Oh my goodness. We are called to observe how Christ cares for His church and apply that to all of our relationships. Ephesians 5:25, what does it say? It says, look, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her. How do you have a right relationship with everybody? Let me speak first to the men, the husbands. You look at how Jesus loves the church. If you're not loving your wife right, it's because you don't understand how Jesus loves the church. And it goes back to the women too. There's a biblical order for the husband and the wife. But I'm not married, Michael. That's good. Paul said it's bad, good, better for you. Amen? You single people? You're like, no, I don't know about that. Well, Paul said it's better that you're not married. So you could be dedicated to the Lord. But if you want to be married, talk to God about that. You can don't go to date apps, Christian Mingle, all that. That's where you get yourself in trouble. There's wolves out there. Get off of that stuff. If God wants you to have a wife or a husband, He'll bring it to you. I was not looking for a wife when I met Anna. And I was an old heathen at that time. And God knew what He was doing right there and right then. Look to Jesus all the time and you'll have everything you'll ever need right there. But we're called to observe how Jesus loves the church, how He loves the church, and we apply that to every relationship we have. Did you hear what I just said? In doing that, you're a pillar. So much work to do with the church. So let's stand up, let's show up, let's lead by example that Christ has revealed to us, church. I'm going to give to you these five things and we'll close. This was a challenge that was given to the men in the church yesterday. And the Lord said, no, give this to everybody. If you will join with me, starting tonight, tomorrow in the morning, for the next 4 Sundays, 4 weeks actually, every single morning, when you get up in the morning, you know, I understand you have to go to the restroom, but before you brush your teeth, before you take that shower, before you get going, sit up there, right in your bed, Indian style if you want. I don't matter, you know, just sit up. And here's what we need to pray for. Number one, we need to pray for the church. Your home church. Grace Christian Center, those watching online, your church, your home church. Pray for the church worldwide. Pray for the needs of your church, your local church, your home church, the church worldwide. Pray for the church. If you are well connected in your local church, you'll know what those needs are. And some of you may not be connected well in your church, your home church. And just be honest with God. You know, God, I really don't know what they need, but you know, Lord, I'm praying for the needs to be met. Number two, pray for your loved ones. Pray for your loved ones who need that, the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for your loved ones. Family, friends, pray for them, immediate loved ones. Number three, pray for the school. Grace Christian Center School, pray for the school. Satan has been trying to close this school since it opened 8 years ago. Pray for the school. Sow into the school. Over the years, I've had people come and say, you know what? How much is the tuition, Pastor? It's this much. I want to pay for someone's books. I want to pay for someone's tuition. We've had that throughout the years. People do that. And it's been applied to them. You see, that's God flowing through you, right? To bless others. And you know how you do that? Look at me. Look at me. This is how you let God flow. Watch. That's how you let God flow. Amen. Receive. And you give. You can't do it like this. Has to be like this. If you worship God like this, you don't worship God like this, you worship God like this. And this is how you flow. The blessings flow through you. You are a living vessel. You let it flow. You are blessed so that you can bless others. You know, I'm not legalistic in this. You know, and I'm going to say, you know, some people won't give the Grace Christian Center. I'm just going to say this. Because it's been said out there over the years. Well, I don't give the Grace Christian Center, even though it's my church, because I see Pastor Michael with a Mustang. Do I not work hard? Do I not save my money? Aren't I? Am I that pastor that just comes up here and preaches on Sunday and that's it? You know, and to be dead honest with you, the salary that I used to get as a pastor, I don't even get anymore from the church because our finances have been attacked so greatly in the church. But I didn't do this for money. So it's okay. Because God's still going to meet our every need no matter what. We work in the school full time. We're up early every morning working, dealing with things, with school, with church. Why? Because that's our passion. And I'm not doing it for passion. I tell my kids in the high school and junior high, I tell them all the time, if you find that thing that God put on your heart to do, and you just love doing that, and you do that for a living, you'll never work a day in your life. I love serving the Lord Jesus Christ, working in the school, working in the church. I love that. I can't imagine doing anything else. And since 2009, when I came full-time with the Lord like this, I haven't worked a day in my life. Though I work a lot of hours, and we put up with a lot. But I'm not doing it for the money. But when we all do what's right in our giving, it's going to bless others in this community, in this church, to do more. To do more. Number four, pray for the lost. Salvation. You see this water baptistry right here? Y'all didn't even know it's a baptistry. Here, hold on. Let me do this real quickly. I'm going to come right up over here. Some of y'all may not know. And if you want to put on the big camera angle real quickly, just to show the back, just for a moment. See that? There's a water baptistry right there. Now, you're not saved by getting dunked in the water, okay? That's not what saves you. But Jesus does say that when we accept him, that let's get water baptized. It's symbolic of the inward decision you made to follow Jesus. We haven't had a water baptism in that place in a long time. We've had many baptized in there, many, many people, but it's been a long time. But is that my job? Or is that our job? It's our job. It's our job to reach the lost. And how do we first reach the lost? By praying. Let's pray. Pray for the lost. Pray, numbers five, pray for our nation. Presidential election coming up. God already knows who's going to win. God already knows what's in store for the nations. Oh, the Illuminati's in charge, or this is in charge, that. Whatever. Pray for our nation. God's will be done. Period. Amen? Those are five things pray about in the morning, every morning. And also, lastly, here's what you need to ask for. Ask for wisdom. Ask for the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that you can build up the church, because that's what the gifts are for the building up of the church. You are your brother and sister's keeper. You need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Number three, ask for a clean heart and a steadfast spirit like King David. He repented of his sin and said, Lord, create in me a clean heart and a steadfast spirit. You're going to be steady about his work because you're doing it with a right heart now. Number four, seek, ask, receive humility. In humility, humbling yourself, you're denying yourself. You're killing the flesh within you. You're not going to be bound by these things of the world any longer. Amen? So that's simple. Amen? Pillars in the church? Give God praise in this house. Amen? Amen. Simply said, but not simply done. But through Jesus, all things are possible. Look, guys, I want you to get loud and proud for Jesus. When Jesus stood before Lazarus' tomb, this is what Jesus did. He said, Lazarus, come out. Right, Kristen? No? What did he do? He screamed it out. No, show me. How do you think he did it? Come on, let's shout it out.
Lazarus, come out!
There you go, Mildred. That's it. Oh, I mean, look, last night I wasn't shouting because it was just a spring training game, but I was watching the Astros last night, and Anna's like, it's that time of the year. I'm like, oh, yeah. But I wasn't shouting because it's spring training. They got all the rookies and the minor leaguers in there trying to get on the team and everything. But Anna will tell you, man, when I go to the games or watch them on TV and they're doing their thing, I mean, I'm shouting. I'm like, woo, all right, yes. I mean, Anna will like, what happened? I mean, she knows something happened. She'll be in the next room. She'll know something happened. But I shout louder for Jesus. And we got to do it with a loud voice. Why? Because Jesus, listen, Jesus spoke into Lazarus. Lazarus, come out. You want to know why Jesus said with a loud voice? Because not just physically, but spiritually, we as Christians were speaking to death. Amen. To rise up, come out of death. And that's why in Acts chapter 4, they prayed for boldness. And this is what Grace Christian Center needs, boldness. And the top of the list, ask for boldness so that you may proclaim Jesus. If you will join me in praying every morning for the next 4 weeks, we're going to mark this from Pillars in the Church. You're going to begin to see things change for the glory of God. I'm telling you. In 4 weeks, we're going to come back to this. So for the next 4 weeks, every morning, pray this every morning. Join with me. Join with the men that did come yesterday and showed up. We need pillars in the church. Men, women, you are those pillars. Let's get to work. Because we are our brothers and sisters' keepers. Amen.